is August the 15th, Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everybody ready to have church this morning?
Amen.
We had some church this morning. I had church this morning. I believe I'm going to turn us now to, let's go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, and starting with verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little, that they may go back and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement with the overflowing scourge, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us? For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Verse 13, verse 16, and the verses in between there are warning verses, revelation verses. But they're speaking of the day we live in today. Even though this was written in Isaiah under the Old Covenant, it is a prophetic word about Jesus, our Savior. And God was looking at Israel at the time. What a mess they were. I mean, what a mess, a perverted mess. They just did not trust God anymore. They just had forsaken. They turned back to other gods. They were covetous. They were greedy. They were jealous. They were slanderers. They were liars. They were thieves. You know, we could just go through the history of Israel and look at all the corruption that happened in the priesthood, all the things that came. Now, there were good priests and there were good kings, but a majority of the time, the people were under judgment. But God said, there's coming a day that I'm going to lay in Zion a foundation stone. A foundation stone, something you could absolutely lay everything else on top of. It's not moving. A foundation stone that is so big and so strong and so powerful that nothing can move it. And if you build upon that stone, you're not going to be moved either. See, the foundation stone is Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news to know? Paul had the revelation, and he shared about it. Peter had the revelation. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Who I am is the church's rock. Who he is. Who is he to you is the question. Who is he to me? What's your revelation of him? How big of a God is he to you? How big is Jesus to you? What kind of Jesus do you pack around? I pack around a big Jesus inside of me. I was looking at my computer the other day, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, you had to have given men the ability to make something like that. A computer.
Amen.
You know, it was just science fiction when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the old movies? The old movies back in the 60s, and they had these huge walls of computers and reels and reels of tape. And now they have it so amazingly down to a tiny, tiny computer chip. A chip. I mean, it's just the tiniest little thing. Now, if mankind, through the wisdom of God, can show man how to put that much information on that much space, how much do you think God can put inside of you? How much information do you think you can contain? How much revelation knowledge are you capable of storing up and developing and stretching and growing? If it's, and especially if it's spiritual revelation, spiritual knowledge. I mean, even the brain, they say you don't even use the capacity of your brain, which has to do with head knowledge, sense knowledge. But I'm talking something that this is talking about, the chief cornerstone. I'm going to read verse 16 again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. For a foundation, a stone. And he's talking about Jesus, his son. He's the stone that God is speaking about. Thus saith the Lord, right? This is a thus saith the Lord. I always pay attention when I hear, oh, thus saith the Lord. Because God's talking. The God that made the sun, the God that made the moon, the God that made the earth and every living thing in it, the God who created all the universes is talking. I pay attention. He said, I'm going to lay in Zion a foundation stone. Now, no one lays a foundation stone if he doesn't plan to build something on it. There's a reason. You don't just build a foundation stone and say, well, that's a nice looking foundation stone there. No, God had purpose and plans to build something on that stone. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone, Peter said. And you know what I am? I'm a little stone. I'm a lively stone. I'm fitly joined together with other lively stones. And we're making a building, a spiritual building, that worships and praises God. Heaven pays attention to us when we worship Him. You know, heaven says there's part of that stone. There's part of the foundation down there. We're part of the bigger, bigger picture. We're part of something huge, big. The body of Christ is massive. I mean, it's, in fact, John saw the revelation of that. In the book of Revelation, he talked about it. He said he couldn't even count them. The number was beyond counting. Look what he told Abraham. He said, I'm going to make your descendants as the sand of the sea. Look at the stars. If you can count the stars and see if you can count them. That's how your descendants are going to be. Believe me, Jesus Christ's descendants are just like that too. There's a lot of believers. But on the same hand, on the other hand, I should say, there's a bunch of people going to hell. I told someone this morning, I said, there's millions and millions, who knows how many people are in hell right now and are going to hell. But then on the other side, on the other hand, there's a lot of people who are being built upon this cornerstone, the chief foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ. And this is what else he says, it's a tried stone. It's a tried stone. If you and I think that we're going to live in this life and not be tried, I'm just going to have to bust somebody's bubble. You're going to be tried. Because God wants a stone that will be strong. He wants to fit you in, but he wants to know what you're made of. He doesn't want somebody who's ready to just jump ship and run every time something goes wrong. He wants a stone that's going to be set in place and they're not moving from that spot because they're anchored on something solid, which is a foundation stone, and you're part of a bigger picture and scheme of things when you are anchored in to and bolted in and hooked into a bigger rock than you. Ain't that the truth? Thank God he's bigger than me.
Amen.
Thank God he's the foundation stone. And I'm just built on top of it. Not it, him. You see, the foundation stone is some person to me. He's a being. He's the eternal God. And it's tried, and it's true. He never fails. I serve a God who's faithful. I serve a God who cannot lie. I serve a God who's faithful and true. He's been tried. He's just a wonderful God, but He's my foundation. And so when I start feeling shaky, or I feel feeling nervous, or I start looking at something that don't look like it should look, and I get all upset about this not working out right, and this ain't happening right, and oh, look what they did, and look what this happened, and look what happened here, and look what they did, and oh, I just know it's their fault, and I know it's that happened, and if that just hadn't happened, you know what I go? I go right back to my foundation stuff. I keep looking at my foundation. I keep looking at where I came from, the rock from which I was hewed. I came from that rock. He brought me forth out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock.
Hallelujah.
I have an established life now. I have an established life.
Praise God.
I mean, I don't get nervous, shaky, and jerky anymore.
Hallelujah.
Don't think the devil doesn't try. But I know where my foundation is. I know who I belong to. I know whose I am and whom I serve. I mean, I look at Paul, I admire him so much because no matter what you see him going through, he knew who he was. And he knew who his foundation rock was. He knew who his God was. Isn't that just good news? It's just good news. I've learned to focus on my rock. Learned to look at the foundation I came from. What's the truth? I know the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I tell you what, I like watching television, and I love watching news. But I tell you what, there's so much heresy. There's so much hypocrisy. There's so much wickedness and evil going on, and all these reports going on all over the world. You've got Muslims hating Christians, trying to kill Christians. You've just got so much wickedness in the earth. Like that guy that just went crazy and stabbed about and killed all these people. That's a demon for sure. It's just time to know who we are and to know who our rock is.
Yes.
Know who our foundation is.
That's right.
And God said, I'm going to lay this stone, and it's going to be a tried stone and a precious cornerstone. Precious. I tell you what, Jesus is precious to God. And you know what He said? He said, as the Father loved me, He's going to love you the same way. God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. In fact, He loves me maybe more. Because He laid down His life. He gave His only begotten Son for me. He must really love me. He that delivered Him up for us all. It's in Romans chapter 8. You might go there if you like. But Romans chapter 8 says this. He that delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not by Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, knowing who you are is so stabilizing. It's so anchoring. Who's your rock? Who's your foundation stone? What do you adhere yourself to? I know who my rock is. He's the Almighty God. And then He says, a sure foundation. Thank God I got a sure foundation. I just don't put my trust in anything else. Talking about a sure foundational trust. I'm in this world. I got to live here. I breathe the air here. I live in the body. Even though my body's not really me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a physical body. But when it comes really right down to the nitty gritty of it, I know who my foundation is. I know who my foundation stone is. And He's in me. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. I'm going to look that up in the Amplified real quick here. Because I know there's more to a meaning to that than just that verse. Amplified says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give away or hasten away in sudden panic. I knew there was more to that. How many times have I just wanted just to get up and run? and go do and go fix. Oh, there's a problem. I got to go fix that problem. I used to just walk around like, oh, I got to go fix that. Or it's up to me to make that fixed. Or it's up to me to fix that. Or it's up to me to change that situation. And what can I do? What can I be? And how can I get the money? Or how can I get that? Or how can I be? Whatever. It's like a panic mode. You ever been in panic mode? I've been in panic mode a few times. But there's a small, still voice that comes up inside of me and says, you're trying to do it in yourself. You're trying to do it in yourself. See, this foundation stone, this sure foundation stone, has been laid by God, and it ain't moving nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. It is set, it's secure for eternity. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Did you know hell has gates? You know hell has doorways? Hell has access entrances? That's what that's talking about. There's demons coming in and out of hell. And there's demons that are assigned to you and me. If that's not a revelation, you need to know that. They know who you are. Just like God knows who you are, they know who you are too. But he says, don't you be afraid, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against this rock, this revelation of who I am. This knowing who your stone is, who your foundation is. See, I know who my foundation is. Took me a long time now. I'm telling you, it took a while for me to really get established in who he is and what he has done. Because, you know, you're just not born again with all that information. You're just not born again with all that revelation. I wish it could have been flash-drived in. I always said, Lord, why couldn't you just put a flash drive somewhere in the Spirit? Now, he does do that sometimes. He does inject things to us. But it comes through the revelation of his Word. See, the more we seek, the more we read, the more we pray, and the more we reach into the things of the kingdom of God, the more revelation comes. The more revelation that comes about this foundation stone. Just sharing about the foundation stone ought to stir you up and think, well, what's going on about this foundation stone? How big is it? What's it about? Is it a big, big rock? How big a rock is it? Have you ever seen these massive, giant buildings that are built? And the masons, they will always take first thing they do is they lay the cornerstone. And it doesn't matter how big that building is, they've always got the cornerstone. And every single stone that is built in that building is measured and plumbed. He just said, I'm going to plumb it. I'm going to plumb line it. Didn't he just say that? Everything is going to line up with this rock. Everything that's going to be built on this rock is going to be measured by this rock. Isn't that good?
Amen.
And so if you and I are going to be a part of this rock foundation, we're going to be a part of something. We're going to be lined up with him. We're going to be measured up just like God said. Plummeted. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. He's lining up his church. He's getting us, and he's fitting us where he wants us. He's putting us where he wants us in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we are going to be so plumb with him. Isn't it good? You know what plumb is? My dad was a plumber, and I can remember all his plumbing tools. And he had this one big thing that had a big, giant, heavy ball with a point on it, and he could lay that thing or stretch that thing out, and a chalk would come out on it. And he would pull it, and it have a mark. And everything, he would line things up with that mark. See, Jesus is our mark. He's our plumb. He's our line. He's our measurement. And when we look at him, and what he did, oh, he's been tried.
Yes.
He can't fail. You see, he cannot fail me. I used to say to the Lord, I remember as a baby Christian, I used to take my Bible and I'd find a scripture when I really just didn't know very much about the scriptures. I didn't know much about the Bible, didn't know much about anything, but I would read a scripture and I would lay it on the floor and I would invite the Lord. I'd get on my knees and I'd say, come here, I want you to look at this. Like, he didn't really know what he said, right? But I would want him to look at it with me. I said, I need you to look at this with me. And let's read this together, okay? This is new to me, so let's read this together. And I would read it to him. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for my benefit. I was reading those scriptures. And I would say, Lord, you said there's no temptation taken me. This is the one I used to say all the time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That one's etched in my heart. There's no temptation taken me, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to bear, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that I may be able to bear it. Now, you said that, so I'm expecting you to do just what you said, okay? It's like I'm trying to bargain with God here. But the thing is, it's already a part of who He is. That's the anchored, that's that foundation stone, already settled and rooted and grounded. The problem was it just wasn't settled and rooted and grounded in me yet. So when your heart becomes as much of an anchored in that Word as He is the Word, and you get rooted and grounded in these Scriptures, and you become they become a part of you to where you don't have to question it anymore. I wonder if God really meant what He said. Well, you know He meant what He said, because it's now your rock. It's now your anchor to your soul. It's now your revelation truth. It's now rocked inside of you. You become a part of a rock foundation, and you are as much a part of Him as He's a part of you. Just like that rock right there is just as much a part of this building as the whole place is right there. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? The key, the most important thing is don't be moved out of where He's placed you. Don't be moved by the things of this world. What did He say in Matthew? He said, I'll show you a wise man. He said, a wise man, there's a foolish man and there's a wise man. The wise man is the one who built his house upon a rock. Just be like a wise man and build your house on the rock. And Jesus is the rock. You know, we just want to just do whatever we want to do and hope God blesses it. I've been there. I know He's bigger than me. And He's stronger than me. And whatever He wants me to do, I've already decided I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. This is the key. It's not the hearers of the word, it's the doers of the word that are just before God. It's the ones who do the word. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer. In James it says, if you're just a hearer, you're like a man who looks in a glass and sees what he looks like, and then he walks away and forgets what he looks like. That's not a doer, just a hearer. But you got to learn to be a doer. A doer of the word does the word. A doer of the word believes the word. A doer of the word really, it's almost like you don't see with these natural eyes anymore. It's like you see with eyes of the Spirit. Your spiritual eyes begin to see the Word for what it is. And it's the Word. It's the rock. It's the foundation. It's like you got these different eyes now. It's like you've got a different set of eyeballs that's seeing into things. You know, I see things a different way than I've ever seen them before since I've been born again and started seeking the things of the kingdom of heaven. Because, yeah, the natural world is such out there. It's so in our face. You know, Smith Wigglesworth would not even let a newspaper in his house. He wouldn't even allow one in his home. All he did was read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. The man raised 26 people from the dead. Clinically documented people raised from the dead. 26 in his ministry. Not to mention the millions of people that were ministered all over the world. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. You notice it didn't say, and if the rain descends, or possibly if the wind blows. No, it says, and the rain did descend. Just mark it down. Life is going to bring you problems. Life is going to bring you trouble. It's not a bed of roses. Even if you was a sinner, it wouldn't be a bed of roses. They have it harder than we do. You want to know the truth? They have a tougher way to live than we do. I wouldn't be out there in the world without knowing who I am and who He is and all that I have on my side for anything in this world. They got it a lot tougher than I do. And then they're going to have to face hell for eternity on top of that. What kind of life is that? To live a miserable life and end up in hell on top of that? And the Word even says that the ways of a transgressor is hard. So, Jesus is saying that if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, I will like you as you're like a man who built his house on a rock and the rains descended, and they will descend, I'll guarantee you they will come, and the floods will come, and the winds will blow, and they will beat upon your house. But guess what he says? It fell not. That's some good news to me to know I fail not.
Amen.
I fail not. And let me tell you something. When I know a house, when you got a flood going through it, that house, I've never been a house, but I am a house, spiritually speaking. You feel the pressure of that water. You feel the pressure of it. It wants to move you off your foundation. That's what a flood tries to do. It tries to move you off of a foundation. And it tries to sway you. It tries to bend you. You know, they say those places down there along the coast in South Carolina, those homes, those old homes, they've been through so many hurricanes down there in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. They've been through so many wind storms and so many floods and so much stuff. But you know those houses are still there? You know why? Because they're anchored on some heavy-duty rock, and they've got steel bars that run through them. They're prepared for all that wind. They're built to last. See, I'm built to last. I'm built to last. Yeah. I'm built rock tough. What's that? Ford trucks, they build their rock tough. Because I'm on the rock. But you gotta listen to his sayings. You see, that's the key. Whoever hears and does my sayings. It's the hearing and the doing are the ones who are on the rock. And the floods won't move you. Because guess what? The rock can't be moved. The rock can't be moved. So when I hear bad tidings, or I hear bad report, or I hear negative things, or I see negative things, or even if I'm under pressure myself, I know the rock I'm connected to, hooked up to, cannot be moved. Cannot move.
Amen.
Now, the natural thing for most of us to do is to panic. Oh, my God. My daddy was a panicker. He used to just go into, my daddy was so funny, is that he had, I can't even exactly tell you, my daddy was kind of like olive oil. Remember olive oil and Popeye? How she'd just go crazy and goes berserk. She just lose her mind in the cartoons. Y'all remember olive oil?
Yeah. Amen.
And Daddy was kind of like it. He just, oh my God, oh my God. He was a character. They landed a helicopter. My ex-husband and I built a house. Dad gave us an acre of land in 1976, and we built a house. And we dug the footer and built it. Built this house with beer, actually. And we actually didn't build the house with beer. It was with wood and brick, but
yes.
I didn't pay anybody anything. I just provided beer. Everybody came to the field and built the house. It was a house raising with beer. I need to write a book because this was a story and a half to tell this story. Take me a while. But I never forget going to visit my mom and Daddy was just beside himself, just absolutely flipped out. Because when I left, I turned it back over to my ex. And in turn, they had grown the biggest crop of marijuana in Greenup County's history on my daddy's farm. And they were staying in the house, camped out across the creek. They found cocaine in the house. The feds landed in my daddy's cornfield with a helicopter and surrounded the house with megaphones and guns. And my poor daddy took two dump truck loads of marijuana out of that holler. Mother said it was hanging out of the back like trees. They were getting ready to harvest it, and they found it. They probably been watching them a while. But I tell you what, my daddy was just, oh my God, don't talk about it. FBI, federal agents, everybody at my dad's farm. Of course, my daddy's 80. Or he was probably at that time about 70-something. And, you know, he had no clue. I don't think he even knew what marijuana looked like. But it was pretty funny in some ways. But the point I'm making is he had no foundation. He thought they were going to take his farm. He could just see the worst happening. They're going to take my farm. They're going to, you know, here I am 70 years old. The farm's been paid off for like 30, 40 years. And he's going to lose everything because of his crazy daughter. And her ex-husband. You know, I mean, who knows what the devil told my poor dad. Yeah. Worked everything out for my dad. But there will be winds come and there will be floods. I just have decided, I can't tell you when it happened, maybe 20 years ago, maybe a few years after I became a Christian, I just began to see that this word really is my rock, and it really is a sure foundation, and it really is the thing I have to stay close to and adhere to. You know, these bricks are stuck together with something called mortar. And the mortar keeps them together, and they've been joined together precisely in the right way and dimensions. And they're all lined up with this cornerstone. I love the fact that we can look at a rock. We can look at a rock building and see how close all this is. And you see, we really need each other. Delise said this to me the other day. She said, we need each other. Don't ever be a lone duck. Don't ever get away from a body. Stay in a body of other believers who are hooked up to the rock and say joined, because you're going to need each other. Amen. Because, you know, it's always that panic moment. It's always that moment of flipping out that we need each other to say, no, 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 you're stuck here. You ain't going nowhere. You're on the rock. Get a grip. Don't you know who you are? Have you had to just smack some people? I've had to do that a few times for myself. And verse 26 says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now we know what's going to happen when that flood comes and that wind comes on sand. Right? I want to take you a couple more places. And 2 Samuel 22. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22. Well, let's just go to verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, before I read on to this, did you see what it said? He sang this song, the words of this song, on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Past tense, he was delivered. Now, in the New Testament, we can sing this song before we see the deliverance. We now can say these words. See, these are Old Testament folks. This is an Old Testament man. He didn't have the rock, the foundation hadn't been laid yet. We now have the chief cornerstone, Jesus, tried. And David went through this horrendous battle, terrific battle, and the Lord delivered him. Wouldn't it be just scary to be out here all the time fighting and warring with swords and killing and having to kill people and sure hope God delivers me. Whew, I sure hope I get out of this one. They're coming at me with staves and knives and guns. And man, I sure hope God delivers me. I'm fighting, but I sure hope God delivers me. You ever just, can you imagine living in that panic mode all the time? That you sure hope God comes through this time. Man, I sure hope God shows up this time. A lot of Christians live like this. They don't know if God's really going to show up. They really have their doubts whether God really is going to do what he said. I was there as a baby. I think every baby Christian's there. We all wonder in the panic mode, is God going to be really God? Is He really all that He said that He really is? And there's just something about standing, having done all to stand, and you're going to see the salvation of your God. And then it just is like that mortar. It just fixes you, settles you, roots you, grounds you to where you're just so anchored that you know. You know the end of the story before it's ever written. You already know the outcome before it ever is the outcome. You already have the answer before you get the answer. Do you all know what I'm talking about? He's your rock. He's your foundation. So this is what David said. And see, what's written for us to look at. These scriptures were written for our benefit. He said, the Lord is my rock of escape from Saul and my fortress in the wilderness and my deliverer. That's who He is to me. That's who He's got to be to every single believer. He is their rock. He's their deliverer. My God, my rock, in Him will I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, You save me from violence. I call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies, period.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter. He says that no weapon formed against me can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I can condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of Him, saith the Lord. You see, I understand the old covenant is the old covenant. I don't live under the old covenant. I live under the new covenant, which is a better covenant built upon better promises. See, God took away the curse of the old covenant, but He never took away not one good promise. He added to the promises. God never takes away the good. He just makes it better. But He took away the curse. Jesus became the curse. See, it doesn't matter what the report is. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. It's what He says. It's who He is. And that's who I am. I identify myself in Him. I'm in Him. Being in Christ is so important. In Him. There's hundreds and hundreds of scripture talk about who in Him we are. In Him. I tell the Lord all the time, I can do nothing without You. In fact, He said that I'm the vine, You're the branch. Except you abide in Me, you can do nothing. You're nothing without Him. Just like that branch out there cannot produce fruit on a tree unless it's hooked up to the sap of the tree, through the root of the tree. Your life comes from Him. He is your life. I want to get to a special verse, though, that I wanted to get to. Let's just read on a little longer here. For the waves of death, verse 5, for the waves of death enveloped me, and the torrents of destruction made me afraid. There's that flood again. The cords of Sheol, or hell, were entangling me. I encountered the snares of death. The cords of Sheol were entangling me. I encountered the snares of death. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God, and He heard my voice from His temple. My cry came into His ears, and they always will. They always will. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear and I will help. I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. That's the thing. God will always hear, and He'll always be faithful. Then this is the best part right here. Then the earth reeled. The earth reeled. You know, God can shake this earth. He can shake this earth like a baby shakes a rattle toy. This earth is like a rattle toy to the hand of God. It's nothing for God to shake the entire earth. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God I'm trusting in. And He knows who trusts Him. Do you know He knows who you are? He knows whether you're trusting in Him. We've all been given a measure of faith, and it's what have we done with that measure of faith that impresses God. Remember the talents? He gave one talent, one two. Some produce more talents. We can produce faith. We can grow our faith in who He is and in His Word. Then the earth reeled and quaked. the foundation of the heavens trembled and shook because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bound the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them. Who'd he scatter? He scattered your enemy. You see, because you're part of him. When you become a part of him, and you are one out of maybe 10 billion that have said, you're my rock, you're my stronghold, you're my high tower, you're my anchor, I'm a part of you. He knows who you are. He knows you by name. You're written and engraven in the palms of his hand. He knows your thoughts afar off. He will not let anything hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nobody can be successful against you. No one can successfully be your enemy. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Nobody. Just let them touch one of my kids and see what I do. You want to see a mean Teresa? You had come against one of my children. I'm telling you, that's the way God is with his children. He's not going to let anything hurt you. He sees the enemy getting a little too close. I'm telling you what, he knows how to deal. But he's teaching us how to deal with the devil, see? Until we get our fangs growing and we get our claws out and we know how to deal with the devil, he's going to take care of us. Like my little kids, they didn't know how to take care of themselves. But now they know how to take care of themselves. They're defending themselves. They don't want me in the way. Mom, I can handle this. My son would no more want me in his battle. I can deal with this. You see, God wants us to grow up and know how to deal with the devil. Know how to be anchored in the Word and put the Word of the Spirit, of the sword of the Word in our mouth and deal with the devil.
Amen.
Jesus spoke to flood waters. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to the storms. I tell you, until we get there, though, he's going to do this. He's going to do this. We speak things into existence. You know, our words are so powerful. But until we learn how to use the anointing and the Word, you know, I wish I had 2 or 3 hours because there's such a deep study here that we could get into. There's so much depth to the Word of God, how we can study and seek God, how to speak His Word.
Amen.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. But it's got to come out of your spirit, man. It's got to come out of you. It's got to be a part of you because you're part of the rock. That's why Jesus could walk around being Jesus. Jesus walked around being himself, and he never let anything the enemy come at him trouble him. When they rose up in the synagogue and got so furious at him, they were wanting to bite on him with their teeth. They grabbed him and drug him out and were going to throw him over the cliff of the hill of the city. He just walked past them. You think he was nervous or a panicky or jerky? You know, God's getting us to a place, though, where we're going to be a covering for other people. This morning when I got up, I wanted to pray, I preach about praying. And I wanted to preach about, and that probably will come. Because if we don't know how to pray, we're not able to cover our families like we should. Knowing who we are, though, you got to know who you are before you can pray effectively. You just have to know what he has said about you. And then you can pray that word over others. Father, I just seal this word this morning. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this revelation established word. It's an established word, God. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we leave here established, anchored, and rooted in your word, in your truth, and who you are, our sure foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.